Remains a bit of an enigma why we don't mention Metzias Pach Hashemen at all. Go through Al Nisim and we don't mention that. It's every time you say Al Nisim, it like strikes me. It's very, very strange. But there was something else that bothered me today. We said Al Nisim, and then we say that the Yevonim, there's a Siddur somewhere. We say that there's a Siddur. It's good, I've got. We said that what did the Yevonim do? It's really interesting. I think I was just thinking, I don't know if it's true. Maybe I saw it once somewhere, I'm not sure. We say that the Yevonim, it's really, we don't mention Metzias Pach Hashemen at all. But what did the Yevonim do? K'sha'om d'mal ch'syev anu sh'alam ch'yisrael. First thing they did is l'ashkicham t'ero secho. To understand, what the Yevonim tried to do is they tried to push us away, to remove us from the chukei ratzonecho, from the chukim of the Ribono Shel Olam. I understand the latter, I understand that. But what does he mean, l'ashkicham t'resech, to make you forget the Torah? The Yevonim made us forget the Torah, and that seems to be, first of all, what is it to make somebody forget? How do you make somebody forget? How do you make somebody forget something? And that, how do you forget the Torah? You forget the Torah by doing what? Assimilation.
Diluting Torah values, taking it away. It was the spiritual one.
The spiritual rather than physical forgetting.
Well, dangerous almost, because they didn't kill us.
They didn't kill? Absolutely, it was spiritual. Yep.
I understand it in a different way. I understood it's
yeah, because they believed.
Study of Torah.
Yeah, as a science, as a knowledge, as a wisdom. Yeah, so I was thinking, similar to what you're saying, similar to what we are suggesting. I mean, you're definitely right as well, because they wanted, they were bothered about the chukim. The mishpatim were fine with. It was the chukim they were bothered about, because anything that is kedusha and is whatever makes sense, they were fine with. I want to say, I had a slight different knach. I wonder, what is it that we generally remember? I mean, that's a rule of thumb. Generally, we remember things that are important for us, right? Is that generally true? Yeah, I think that's generally true. Things that the more important it is for you, the more likely you are to remember. Is that true? I think that's a rule of thumb. No, a lot of things that we forget, our short-term memory is things they forget after 5, 7 minutes, 10 minutes, because it's just not important for you. It's like you lose. I don't know if that what the science behind it is, but I'm not
neurological.
Yeah, and I'm not. But it seems to be true that whatever is more important for you tend to store it in a different area of your brain. So what may have been the case is that what the Yevonim did is that besides the values of the Torah, what they were subtly and perhaps not so subtly, what they're trying to influence the Eden was that there's other important things in life. And that was what the Yevonim, the whole agenda of the Yevonim, about their science, their knowledge, their advancement in their own world. And what was really important for them was Taka. A lot of things were very scientific and very, they were very knowledgeable. But at the same time, was the Koichi Ve'etzim Yodin. And what they really tried to influence was that, you know, there's other things besides the Torah. There's other things out there besides the Torah. And they grew in importance. And therefore, the Torah decreased in importance. And automatically, naturally, therefore, they were starting to forget the Torah. When you only think about the Torah, you don't forget the Torah. It's really amazing. I know myself that when I was learning in Kol, things that I learned in Kol, it's quite a number of years ago, but I had things, I'm sure you feel the same. You don't forget the things you learn in Kol, because you have nothing in your life besides the learning. Okay, you may have a baby or two, but I'm saying you really have, you have nothing else on your, and the worldly, you know, it's nothing really affects it, because all you have is the Torah. And therefore you don't forget that. But as they were, and as opposed to things that we learn at a later stage in life, it's very, I don't know how you feel about this. I know myself, I'm more likely to forget things. It might be Gisni Ankusa, perhaps that's a pshat in Gisni Ankusa, but certainly the more things you have in your world, which are really, really important, the less likely you are to remember what you're learning. And that is, in a very extreme level, what they tried to do, that they showed them other values out there. There was the sports, and there was the science, and there was the globalization, which they had in those days already. And because of that, and the internationalization, and everything they had, the Yevonim, they were great in that. And they really brought a lot of great things to the world. But together with that, it caused a shikha to the Torah, because it was all important things in their lives. And that's Lashkicham Torah Sechem. I wonder if that's pshat. If that's pshat, then we have a lot of work. Because then pshat, no, because we are really affected by that. We're tremendously affected by that. You know, how much can we really absorb of the Torah, because we've got so many other things that are impacting on us the whole time.
That's...
Absolutely, yeah. Well said, well put, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Anyone can, without navigating,
it's a Gan Eden. Yeah. So you're saying that Lashkicham Torah Sechem, that is our void nowadays. We've got to fight all the external things absolutely. Yeah. Very good. Very good. Okay. So, Shaul Bizoichet, to get a lot of chizik from this very, very special, from these very special days. Okay, we're up to Simon Tov Mem Ches. I want to complete it today, Be'ezer Hashem. It's about Mechiras Chomet, Chom Shalom Pesach. We're up to page 66, which is Seif Hey. We discussed that extensively, so I'm just going to go briefly over it. We discussed it earlier, was mentioned earlier. Chomet Shanim Tzavais Yisrael Acha Pesach. If you find Chomets in a house of a Yid, Acha Pesach, after Pesach. So in other words, it was Chomet Shalom Pesach in a house of a Yid. Also, this is also Afal Pish, a bit Lodoy, Bittul was done. So we discussed this earlier. The Bialoch spoke about it earlier. That if, Chomet Shavuot Pesach is also, what was the big exception about Chomet Shavuot Pesach? When is it Mutter? One big disclaimer. Ones Gomo. Ones Gomo, that's right, yes. Ones Gomo, if it's something that completely beyond control. The case of the Mishnah was what? Remember that? That's right, they gave the good. That's our comparison, which might be true. But the Mishnah Berurah's case is the case of the flour that was kept by the, in the mill of the goy, and he decided on his own accord. Do you remember? He decided on his own accord to start making chametz out of the flour. Do you remember that? So that's Oynes Gomu. So that's the big exception. But otherwise, we learned that chametz Shavuot Pesach is also. Now we discussed also, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch is pointing out over here. What happens if the Yid made bittul? Because I suppose the background foundation of that question is that Chomet Shavuot Pesach is also based on what? When is Chomet Shavuot Pesach also? When is a transgression of Bali Roeh Bali Motze? That's the rule. That's the Yesod. So whenever there's Bali Roeh Bali Motze, after Pesach, there is the Issa of Chomet Shavuot Pesach Midrabanan. So the question is, what happens if the Yid did Bittul? Because if there is Bittul, is there Bali Roeh or not? There's no Bali Roeh. If a person did Bittul, on a Torah level, there's no Bali Roeh Bali Motze. So the question is, if a person did Bittul, what's the halach with regards to Bali Roeh Bali Motze? What's the question with regards to Chomet Shavuot Pesach? And here the Shulchan Aruch paskens that although a Yid did Bittul, nevertheless, there's still a Issa of Chomet Shavuot Pesach. The Mishnah Berurah, and we mentioned that earlier as well, the Mishnah Berurah of Kotten Chofei, here again, he's a bit more makel, behefset merubah. And he said that if there's a really emergent situation and a huge financial loss, one can be lenient in this question. And perhaps Matir Chomet Shavuot Pesach if there was bittul, but that's certainly not Mikradin. See, Vav.
Should we say that our Mechira is even stronger than bittul?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Is there a chatimsa that we could actually have this situation?
No. Nowadays, only if a Yid doesn't sell at all.
If it becomes Chomet on Pesach?
It will become Chomet Shavuot Pesach.
Something that became Chomet on Pesach. It wasn't Chomet.
That we include our Mechiras. I actually include that as well. Yeah, we said that even if you get chometz over Pesach, or something becomes chometz over Pesach, he should all be sold to the goy. Although it's not a kinyan really normally, but because it's dorsha in bol olam, but by mechiras chometz we're makel. Yeah, okay. Also la'achil tivov. Okay, animals, and that is very relevant for the milk that we get on Pesach. Also la'achil chametz be Pesach. You are not allowed to feed chometz on Pesach. Even to other people's animals. Oy shall hefka or hefka animals. Say you've got some hefka some hefka animals across the road, and you see some chomets around, you can't start feeding the animals chomets, even if it's not yours. Allow me to point out that if you've got birds, hamsters, rabbits, the feeds are questionable, very questionable. Fish can be, yeah. So you just have to watch it. I know there is ways out, but you have to just double check the feeds, because often there will be at the very least kidneys, but sometimes chometz gomur. So you've got to investigate, because there is ways out of finding other feeds as well. But you have to make sure, because even if it's not your animal, kavuchem, if it's your animal, you have to watch what you're feeding them. You have to watch what you're feeding them. Why is it that feeding an animal of hefker, feeding him chometz, is also? Yeah. If it's your animal, I appreciate feeding your animal. You're happy that your animal is well fed. But I want to know if it's, you've got a cow across the road, and you're finding some chometz on the street, and you're feeding half a cow. It's not yours. We're learning now you don't have to feed him chometz. Why? There's a stray cat, and you're finding some... Oh, interesting. You're seeing the psychological element. I wonder if that's what the Mishnah Berurah means. Because the Mishnah Berurah says, in Sifkot and Chof Ches, so Chof Zayin, Mishnah Berurah says, אפילו בהם הזכרים של עקומים, if it's other, if it's a goy's animal, it lets you know how to feed it, של הפקה, even if it's a הפקה. Why is that? Chof Ches, תהיה יש לו הנו, his benefit is הנו, פעמר שממלא רצוינוי, the fact that he's fulfilling the wish, להסביע לבהמו, to satisfy the animal. Ve'ayin be'is Yosef, the be'is Yosef writes, ta'afilu be'moitzi chometz she'enu shaloi, it is even the case, if it's not your chometz, kamken also, it's even, nevertheless, it remains also, la'ashlech, to throw before the dog. So Abgidin suggests, and it could be that's in the Mishnah Berurah, that you get anor from feeding an animal. There is, I don't know, what do you think about that? Is that true? You see a cow, you give him something to eat, you feel a certain... Give carrots to the... Yeah?
You see at the farm, and they will feed the animals there, whatever.
Yeah.
It's not... If the animal was to die...
Even without that.
Ratzono.
Good. Well, what do you think is...
The person to say...
Las beer to feed the animal, yeah. Okay, good question. I don't know. Let's say that the way we are saying that it's your own will. You're satisfying. You have the wish, the will to satisfy the animal, and you're making the animal happy by feeding it. So what's
die?
But you're making no kimt. You're saying it's only talking about if it's the always the animals will it's not necessarily dying. I mean, the animals will feed themselves to death as well. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's a hungry, starving animal. And nevertheless, it's permitted to feed. Why? What hana have you got from feeding an animal? So you're saying this as psychological well-being of this. You get a kick by feeding an animal, which is true. Which is certainly true. We all enjoy feeding an animal. It has to be understood psychologically where that comes from. Which, where does that come from? Which middle does that come from?
To nurture?
Is it a chesed, or is it on the contrary? Is it something that we feel cool, we feel good, we feel...
These old people there with their dogs, that they spend hours and hours petting over.
Where did that come from?
Loneliness, probably.
That's probably loneliness. That's selfishness. That's not chesed, that's selfishness.
They need to channel that. Maybe a limited source is that they need to channel their giving energy into something. So maybe it is that they...
You're saying that every person's got an intrinsic... That's very interesting what you're saying. Every person's got an intrinsic...
Positive
trait of sharing, giving to others. And you're saying that perhaps it could be that's the way.
if you want to crouch it negative, you could say that a person wouldn't get married if it wouldn't be for his person.
Yeah, but that wouldn't... Yeah, but in this...
wants to give for the
own sake.
Yeah. But it doesn't mean that they won't do a chesed.
I mean, it could definitely be nemot chos. I sometimes feel that people... I don't know what Mishnah... It's interesting Mishnah, but it's interesting halacha, because I sometimes feel that people give because they just feel... It gives a certain sense of, even if it's an animal, at least you're on top of animals, you know, it gives a certain sense of authority. Yeah, a certain sense of authority. You know, the animal needs to come to me. Either way, we're learning it's also. You get the hanor from it. He needs to be psychologically understood, something to think about. But the ma'aseh we're learning that it's also Sif Zayin. So Rabbi said, just to point out, yeah, that means that halacha l'maaseh, if you're feeding birds, you're feeding what's called ducks on Pesach, and there is some leftover. Rabbi said, it's really important. You're feeding ducks on Pesach. You're going for a walk on Pesach. Chol HaMoed. You're going to the pond. What's called? You're going to Elst to Alden Country Park. Yeah, and you're going around innocently, and then you see that there is some leftover people were there before. Going were there before, and they fed the ducks, and there's chametz and whatever lying around, and then you want to just, and they've gone, and you want to finish off their chametz, and you're saying, you're making all fun, I'm not koine this chametz, I'm not koine it, because of course you don't want to be koine chametz, I'm not acquiring it, I'm still giving it, it's the goy's chametz, and I'm passing it on to the ducks. We're learning now, this is also, even if there's no acquisition, and there's no kenyan of the chametz, nevertheless, it's also because you're not allowed to feed animals on Pesach. That's the way I'm interpreting this Mishnah Berurah. Sif Zayin. I suppose. It's a sakana. Yeah. 101. Yeah. Mashlich shel lifnei behema. Kaf HaChaim says. Is that chometz? Yeah. Is that chometz? Yeah. Haroidef achen lenoshcho. Yeah. Rav Elashiv says, if you're in danger, you're allowed to throw it. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I think that's. Yeah. Okay, Sif Zayin. Osleitin behem toilei niyudi la'achila. Bimei Pesach. Are you allowed to give your animal to a goy? Say you've got a farm, a milking farm, and you want to give your animals to a goy to feed your cows chametz over Pesach. You're allowed to do that. You're giving it to the goy.
So the goy owns it?
Yep.
Giving is a matana gemurah.
Matana gemurah. Says the Shulchan Aruch, also liten behemtoy, it is forbidden to give your animal, le'en Yehudi, to a goy. Le'achilo, to feed it, to feed the animal, p'mei Pesach, over Pesach, imu yedeh, if you know, shema achil oiso, that the goy feeds your animal, psoileis, so'irim, shu chometz, if you know the animal is fed, barley, chometz, over Pesach. So, whether it's a paid job or not a paid job, at the Mishnah Berurah sense, if gotten choftes, litin behem toy bein, bezachinam behem bezcha, where it's paid or free, you're not allowed to benefit from, if he's feeding chametz to your animal, you're not allowed to do. Why not? Why is it a problem to give your animal to a goy who's going to feed chametz? Says the Mishnah Berurah, mamash like you're saying, if gotten lamet, la'achilo shariu nene mechometz v'pesach, he'll ultimately are benefiting from the chametz, on Pesach, shemefatem boy, ha'akum is behemtoy, that the goy is feeding your animal with chometz over Pesach. For chometz, afilu shel akum also lehenes memenu Pesach. And chometz is forbidden, even if it is the goy's chometz, you're not allowed to know. However, b'diavet, im ochlo chometz over Pesach, if your animal ate chometz over Pesach, unless you psor b'shvil zeh, the animal doesn't become also. So say you did give your cows to the goy, and the goy did feed your animals, chomet, over Pesach, after Pesach, the animal doesn't become also. Just because you would say that the flesh has now absorbed chomet. You don't say that. Now what happens if you have a problem? Let's say you've got a milking farm. And that is a real shaila. The milking farms are real shaila. To kosher milking farms, they're a real shaila. But say it is your own cat. That's why they don't really. I've spoken to them. And they've told me that one of the reasons is because of Pesach. The model they have, most of the Haredi, the kosher milks, they don't actually own the cows. They used to do that, but it's not worth it. So what they do is they physically, it's a kind of a renting agreement. The cows and the farm belongs to the goy, and they will rent it out for various days a week, which will obviously exclude, well, it won't be a Friday, and it won't be a Shabbos. And that makes it much easier. And also, in terms of Pesach, it's much easier. It's because it's not your cows. It's a kind of a shutfus, yeah. They used to have Yiddish farms, but they're no longer.
How does that help? Because if we're saying that...
So you're just not... You're,
when you give the goy, the behemoth, Pesach...
Because that's if it's your behemoth. But I'd say if it's your behema. But if it's the goy's behema, that is...
Then but when you reacquire it back for your days, or rent it back, or whatever...
So it's a goy's cow. It's a goy's cow that has been fed chometz over Pesach, gesundheit, and you are now renting this cow. So it makes it much easier. There, I know also they have agreements about not feeding non-chometz already weeks before Pesach. And that's really the question that the Mishnah Berurah says over here. Let's say it is your own cows. Would you be allowed to, and we are saying now, you're allowed to give it to the goy just over Pesach, because the cows are going to be fed chometz over Pesach. What happens if you don't just give it on Erev Pesach for a week, but you give it 2 weeks earlier? You say, John, these cows, take them for the month. Take them for the full month. And feed them whatever you want to feed them. Does that make it better? I understand, just for Pesach, you can't.
I don't really understand that even, because if you've given the
Hamas, there is no. Yeah, so it should be fine. What if you're not... Okay, so you know what? If you didn't give it to him as a Matan Gemurah, you rented out the cows. So the Mishnah Berurah says as follows in Fikot Lamed Aleph. Davka boifen zeh, davka if it's for days of Pesach. Aval oison, podosh shemamidim behepton etzenochi. If you're giving the cows to the goy zman rav, a long time, koidem Pesach before Pesach, sheanochi yozin oison mishaloy, and the goy feeds the cows from his own fodder, ein masnim beferish al chometz, and they don't discuss what is going to be fed. And in the middle of that agreement, in that term, in that period, there is also Pesach in between. Muta, it's fine, although it turns out, so if you're just giving out the cows for Pesach, then it's no good if you feed some chometz. But if you're giving a whole month, or you're giving it for weeks, and he happens to have Pesach in between, and he happens to feed chometz during the days of Pesach, that's none of your problem, that's fine. Yeah, this was a serious issue. The Mishnah Berurah of Kot Lamed Gimel addresses the issue of people who had cows, and it was a very great discussion. If you look in the Poskim about 200 years ago, especially in Poland, it was a massive shaila because people had. Truth is, in Switzerland as well. This is before my ancestors were in Switzerland, but we're only there for two generations. But before that, in the 1800s, the Yidden weren't allowed to do many panosas. They only had to do the. They only allowed to be fee handler, which used to have cows and cattle. That's what they allowed to do, and you to be money lenders. That was what they allowed to do at a later stage. So they had a lot of cows and a lot of cows, and that was true in Switzerland, but in other areas in Europe as well. So the shaila was, what do you do on Pesach? What do you do on Pesach with those cows? And he says, just to sell the animals, that was a problem, and to sell. And there was a lot of haramas, a lot of shyness with it. Poskim were very busy how to discuss it, how to go about it, and it was a serious Mishnah Berurah addressed over here, and it's not so posh what to do about it. Another shyness which is discussed about the milk, and I want to just read those four lines of Mishnah Berurah, the last four lines of this Mishnah Berurah Sifkot Lamed Gimel. Velin cholof shel behemah she'ochel es chometz. What's the halacha of a cow which eats chometz? What about the milk? What's the halachic status of milk which comes from a cow which ate chametz? Good or no good? Milk from a cow which ate chametz. Would you drink it or not, Benjamin? You'd rather not. Chaim?
Is there any chametz in the milk? Is there chametz in the milk?
No chametz in the milk. No chametz in the milk.
What's the chashash about fish?
Saying that, yeah, but what will normally the cow, there's a difference between fish and cows, because what do the cows generally eat and what does the fish generally eat?
What about chicken?
Chicken, absolutely. Says the Mishmur, so let's see what Mishmur says. Ve'le inyan cholof shel behema, with regards to milk of an animal, a cow, she'cheles chometz, which eats chometz, afilu shel nochi, even if it is a goyish cow. Nechleku achoinim, but this remains a machloikis achoinim. For das, a primogodim, the opinion of the very great primogodim, lahatir, to allow hachol of the milk, shecholvu acham, es la'es shechol chometz. If you wait more than 24 hours after the cow has consumed the chometz, after 24 hours, it's fine. If it's within the 24 hours, it's definitely a problem. Because it's chometz which has turned into milk. After 24 hours, it's... Yes. Yeah, it's a sugya. Yeah, I don't know. Rabbi Yesh Mekilin and some Amatia, Afilu Boi B'Yoyim, sorry, not what I said a minute ago. Yesh Mekilin and some Amatia, Afilu Boi B'Yoyim, even on that day, the cow will eat chometz. The milk that comes on that day is also fine. Boi B'Yoyim, Imo Echel Shachis V'Avis Medorim Amutorim, if it will eat Shachis V'Avis twice in between something which is mutar. So it could even be Boi B'Yoyim. So Boi say, if it's more than 24 hours since the cow has eaten chometz, that's fine. If it's within the 24 hours, people call them is matir, and some are even more matir that if it is eaten twice, something else mutter, that then the milk will be fine as well. The mice, I know that they struggle with this, but they take into consideration the milks that we have with achsherim. They give them already weeks in advance. They only give them food which is kosher Pesach, which is non chometz. So how that works with the agreement with the goyim, I'm not sure, but they are specified in advance that we've got to make sure not only our cows are very goyish cows, but they're still very fun cows. We've got to make sure not to eat chometz really weeks before. Then they're fuller than us. They're fuller than us because they stop eating chometz weeks before us already. Yeah. Fine. Okay. I wish you a very good evening. Afeilich in Chanukah. Okay.